Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Today we are in our series, Relationship Goals, a biblical perspective on achieving godly relationships in singleness, dating, and in marriage. Wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
And so we've been together almost literally 15 years, half of our lives.
Dating for eight.
And then we've been married for seven years. And we're excited because we get to show authentic relationship. We're not perfect, but we are progressing. And we think that this should be shown in the church of how people continue to progress in marriage. And so I want to tell you about the first night that we met. I was 15 years old. It was December 14th, 2001.
Oh, brownie points for remembering that. It was a friend's birthday.
I was at a birthday party, and she walked in with long black hair and a black dress, and I said, what is that? I said, what? I'd never seen anything so exotic and beautiful, and I proceeded to act a plum fool that night.
Yes,
I said, she's going to get me to notice. She's going to notice me tonight. What did you think when I was doing that?
You were hilarious.
Amen.
You were very funny. I knew that you were trying to get my attention.
I did.
And more than anything, I was like, he's used to being the center of attention. I can tell. And not much has changed.
Shots fired. This is from that night.
Oh, yeah.
My God, still to this day.
He was scared, guys.
Hey!
This is a picture we took at the very end because I was about to leave. No, he was about to leave.
Yeah, I was about to leave.
And I found him and I said, where's my hug? I don't get a hug.
She came and found me.
He thought he has the tightest game in the world at 15.
Oh, my God. At 15, that's like somebody giving you just the biggest kiss in the world.
But look how scared he is. Look at his hand. Oh,
anyway,
his hand wasn't touching me.
But from that point, it was about 8 years, and we went through a season of like 10 months of complete insanity. We'll tell you about that another day. And I went through a time and a spurt of that. And then God brought us back together, and we got married at this church in 2010, actually. And We had a huge wedding. If my wife tells you, it's all my fault. And look how beautiful you are.
We invited
there,
the entire church, social media blast. Anyone that wanted to come get a meal and watch us get married. That's what happened. Elope, people. Don't do it.
Looking back on it, it was a dumb decision.
Too many people.
But we had an amazing time in that. And now, out of our love, we have three awesome kids. We have our 3-year-old. Her name is Isabella Monet Todd. She literally wrecks my life. And that's our princess. And then we have our son, Michael Alexander Todd Jr. That's MJ. And then, literally 30 days from today, we will be giving birth to... You will be giving birth to Ava Michelle. And so we're so excited. I think that's our finale, and we're going to move on to see what God is doing in our lives.
Yes, I've been pregnant every other year since 2013.
I've been doing the will of God, being fruitful and multiplying. Can I get an amen?
Someone's getting cut, guys. Someone's getting snipped.
The devil is a
liar. We'll rock, paper, scissors.
I need y'all to pray for us, okay? I need y'all to pray for us. But we think that this message today is going to help you if you're single. You're going to be thankful that you're not married. Tell them if they're dating and maybe engaged.
You'll value your singleness more today than ever before hearing this message. If you're dating and you're engaged, you are going to find things that you're going to prepare for in future marriage or find ways to prevent bumps that may come in the road.
That's
and
good.
If you're married, this is going to take your marriage to the next level, or it's just going to be a nice little tune-up for your marriage.
And so this is what we want to do. We want to give you some major keys to marriage. Write that down. That's the title of today's message, Major Keys to Marriage. And the first thing I want you to realize is that marriage is supposed to be a reflection on the earth of the relationship God has with the church.
With the church.
And a lot of people say things like this: I've never seen God, I can't believe in God. But I believe that was the intention, that people that don't know God would see a healthy marriage and they say, oh, I see God. And that's what God wants marriage to look like, but we don't get to see that oftentimes because people don't do marriage God's way. And that's what we want to talk about, doing marriage God's way. There is nothing more attractive to somebody who believes in God and who doesn't believe in God than a healthy marriage. That's why people marry eight times, Elizabeth Taylor, and it finds, and they keep doing it because there's something attractive about marriage. And so we want to give you our first major key, that marriage was never meant to be done just between two people. You need to hear me say this very clearly. It was never supposed to be just the husband and the wife. God was always supposed to be the cornerstone and the center of the relationship. Yeah. It's because God is love. And love has an action that goes with it. We all know this scripture, for God so loved that he did what?
Gave.
You will never see real love until there's real sacrifice of giving. And most people in our generation, they want to take, what can I get out of it? What can happen for me? But the real mark of love is giving. And what we want you to see is that God wants to give you everything you need for your marriage. And I know some single people are sitting in here, and there's some people who've been married a long time, way longer than us. Hear me when I say this, that your relationship with God dictates how all your other relationships go. It literally is the barometer to how things happen in your relationship. That's why Ephesians 5:25 says this for husbands. And he's like, I want to teach you how to love your wife. It says, this means love your wife as Christ loved the church. And he did what? He gave up his life for her. Yeah. You want a real definition of marriage? It's going to be a lot of dying to self.
Yeah.
You're going to wake up every morning and you're going to die to yourself. What you want to do, your likes, all those different things, but it's for unity. And it's one of the most beautiful pictures, because you have to become more like God to be able to give to somebody who doesn't want everything you want. Can I make it very plain for you in this room? Our first major key is really saying that you can't do real good relationship without God.
Yeah.
It can be a facade and you can have great Instagram posts, but when you cut that thing wide open, there's two hurting people that are in need of a loving Savior.
For me, I know I need God to be Michael's wife. I know I need God to be the mother for my children. I always keep in mind that I think of myself like a cup, and I'm either going to pour out what's in me or what's not in me.
That's good.
And a constant question I have to ask myself is, am I pouring from a dry place? A good sign is if I'm frustrated, I'm feeling overwhelmed, or, you know, I'm just being really short with my kids, that's a sign of my reflection with God and my time with him and not of them. And I'm not saying that, you know, my reasons for being short or frustrated or overwhelmed are not valid. That can really be happening. My kids could be having meltdowns constantly. Me and Michael cannot be seeing eye to eye.
No.
There may be marriages in the room that are going through serious things right now. You know, maybe we're dealing with infidelity, or you lost a child, or financial issues, whatever it may be. And we're not saying that those things aren't valid. And so, but what I am saying is, just because my responses are not valid, or just because I must realize, sorry, that my responses are not valid just because I feel they're justified.
That's good. I need you to say that one more time. Rewind that. Say that one more time.
My responses are not valid just because I feel they're justified. So just because something is real and it happened and you can lay it out there and why you should react the way you should, doesn't mean that it should happen, because that's coming from an emotional place and not from a spiritual place. Ephesians 4:31-32. Says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, and all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. To do those things, y'all, I need Jesus.
Yeah.
Because it's just not going to come naturally to me. Me without the Lord, I literally suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a nasty attitude. I cut people off. I will completely check out, you know, of a situation or dealing with someone. So me without God basically equals I suck.
But honestly, that's all of us. Yeah. How many people in here without God, you're a hot mess. Come on, somebody okay, that's everybody in the room. So what I'm saying is, I think this is where God was talking to us in Matthew 22, where he said, you must first love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And he says this right here. He says, this should be the first and greatest commandment. I just want to encourage everybody in this room who has other things before God. If you put God first and he is the greatest, everything else in your life gets blessed. Like a lot of us have things that are first and greatest, our career, our family, our spouses, our music. But God is saying, I need me to be first because I know how to supply everything else in your life. Yeah. And many times we're going to things that can't supply what we need. But if we put God first and he's the greatest, everything's going to work. In marriage is a lot of giving. The question is, where are you getting it from? If you don't have a constant source, you will always be deficient and not be able to give the grace, give the peace, be able to walk in the love that you're supposed to. And Natalie showed me this diagram the other day, and it's right. A really good depiction of what our marriage relationship should look like with God.
So it's this triangle that I saw, and basically at the top of the triangle, there it is God. And at the two bottom points is the husband and the wife. And all this triangle or this illustration does is show that as you have your individual pursuits after God, yeah. that as a result is going to bring you and your husband closer together.
So good.
The intimacy is going to, you know, come together as a result. And so that is how you grow closer to your husband or to your wife and keep that pursuit is by pursuing God first, individually.
And let me say this, you never can be pulled higher by something that's not higher than you. You have to have God as the center because then he can lift you up and then you'll be closer to each other. Let me just say this, that's why it's so important for my single people and my dating people and all that not to be unequally yoked.
Absolutely.
Like this is why it's so important. I know that's a big King James Version word, but don't get with the wrong person just because they fine and they got a few dimes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not worth it because you will have a life of misery trying to go one way when they're going the other
way.
I
mean, you'll literally begin to feel the distance. If one is moving and the other one is not, you're going to begin to feel
the tension
yeah. or not feel the tension. You'll feel distance and you'll begin to feel like, you know, we're growing apart. Or, you
we
know,
fell
the
out
intimacy,
of love.
The pursuit is not there. It'll begin to affect you. And just as much as you may believe that your pursuit after God isn't going to directly affect your marriage, it does. And the reason that it does is because God was the original creator of it. And if you don't have him and you're not chasing after him, it's going to affect your marriage.
And that's why I want to read this 2 Corinthians 6:14, the unequally yoked scripture, but I want to read it from the Message version because I believe it gives great imagery for what we're supposed to do. It says, don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Isn't that how a lot of relationships look? Like constant fighting, that is a clear sign that they're unequally yoked. If you're saying, we always just fighting, you might be with somebody who's not going the same direction as you. It says, is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Does trust and mistrust hold hands? The answer to all of those is no. And so we have to be in relationship with people who have the same priorities as us.
One thing I want to say is on that being unequally yoked, but one thing I do want to say to kind of bring it in for the married couples is in that triangle, that bottom line doesn't get talked about a lot, but that bottom line there is the connection that the husband and wife starts off with on day one. The day you decide to get married, you take that, you know, covenant before God and before man, you are automatically connected. And I want to say that this is not a competition. It's not a race.
Good.
It's not something where, you know, I'm trying to move faster than you.
Well, pray better than you.
And who's where they're at. And it's not a pulley system.
No.
You know, your wife's not going to be able to pull you up and your husband's not going to be able to pull you. But that we start on the day of our wedding and that journey, that pursuit to God, it's that journey of becoming one.
Yeah.
And that becoming one is not a destination. It doesn't necessarily all magically happen on the wedding day. It's a journey of a lifetime till death do you part. And honestly, it's not a sprint. This is a marathon. It's going to take a lifetime and it's not a competition. And if you're not necessarily where your spouse is, that's okay. We can start today.
And I want to minister to somebody who may be unequally yoked, or you married somebody and you know that they're in another space and place. They don't really want to pray or have a relationship or come to church with you. Listen, be encouraged. The Bible talks about that the faith of one person in the household can save their entire family. And you may be in this place right now and be like, man, I messed up. I wish I would have had relationships goals 17 years ago when I married Joseph. But at the end of the day, God is a redeemer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he can take things that are broken and he can bring them to another place. And we believe that you can start again and that God can do something awesome. So what does that take? Each person in a relationship has to have a daily devotional life. You got to crack that Bible every day or scroll on that app every day. It makes you better. And then you have to pray. That's just talking to God. God, I'm frustrated about this traffic right now. I just need you to open up a way out of no way. God's not mad at that, even down to deep things like I'm insecure about my future. He just wants you to talk to him and he'll speak back to you. And then having times of worship where you play worship music and you lift God up and you extol him. And our season is different now. For Natalie, we have 2.5 kids. Yeah. What does devotion look like for you?
Worship.
2.5. Y'all heard me. It's almost 5. Here.
Worship and prayer, I can incorporate into my day. But the thing that I have found to be the most sacrificial for me to do is devotion. Because you need time alone and you need
quiet. Yeah.
And so having small children, 1 and a 3-year-old, that's hard to come by nowadays. And so I have to realize that's something I have to sacrifice. Yeah. I'm either going to have to wake up early or I'm going to have to stay up once everyone's gone to bed. And so that's something that I found in these practical steps that your season of life may have to dictate how you go about these things. But as long as you do it, it's going to be so beneficial to your marriage.
And it changes the way you interact with everything around you. So our first major key is God needs to be the center of your life. Yeah. Don't just put it as your relationship because then it can be on them or him or her. No. It has to be the center of your life. Let me give you the second major key and we're going to get into some real stuff right here. You need to know the difference between what your spouse needs and what they want. Okay? I want you to underline need and underline want because this is the source of many marriages' problems. They don't understand the difference between need and want. Talk about it, baby.
Men and women are completely equal in marriage.
That's true.
But God created us with different sets of needs. He designed marriage to allow the husband and the wife to fulfill those needs, though. So it's okay. We're different, but we're designed to be able to fulfill those for our husband or our wife. Many times we confuse a need that will help them function at their best. We confuse that for a want or like something that he just prefers or she just suggests kind of thing. But if you don't know these needs, neglect is inevitable. It's going to happen. And so we want to help you guys out by telling you about these.
So Natalie, in just a moment, all my fellas, I want you to get something out to write because she's going to literally tell you the 3 things that every woman needs.
Gonna get
and
juicy.
Then I'm going to tell you what the 3 things every man needs. So this is worth coming this morning. But before I do that, I want to let you know there are 3 things that no person can ever feel. No person can ever give you identity.
Mm-hmm.
No person can ever give you purpose.
Yes.
And no person can ever accept you. God's already done all of those things.
Yes.
And if you do not know that, you will inadvertently put that pressure on somebody else and always be disappointed because they never, ever can fulfill a God hole.
Nope. Not a husband or a wife.
Nobody. So nobody. I just want you to know that don't look for those things in your husband and wife, but do look for these things. Natalie, tell every man in this room what every woman needs.
So women need 3 things. We need security. We need affection. And we need communication.
Oh, Jesus.
Now,
oh Lord,
and there's a whole lot more, but these are the top 3 that we find to be the most valid.
It's getting hot in here.
Now, usually when you hear the word security, most men are going to think, okay, I got to protect my wife and make sure my home is taken care of and all those things. We automatically go there. But I like to think of security more like a safe place. And we need to find a safe place and be secure in our husbands. And in that safe place, we have our emotional needs. We need to know that our heart is taken care of, our dreams, that we can trust, that we have your trust and that your commitment to us, be able to tell our insecurities, physical needs. We do need protection. We need a place to live. We need provisions from you. And then we also, for our financial, we need to have our financial needs met in that safe place with you. Not saying that you got to be rolling in the dough or anything like that.
At least have a plan, though.
We are saying that women need to know that you have a vision and you have a plan for your finances. And so the wife needs to know that. They were just not out here spending money willy-nilly nilly, buying cars every other month or something like that, that we have a plan and we know where we're going.
Now, Natalie, you're saying that women don't want this, that they need this.
Need it.
This is how they function best.
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell us the second thing that women need.
Second thing women need is affection. So, affection, I'm going to explain this because affection is not sex. Most men are not automatically going to think this means sex. She clapped her hands. Affection, it means loving gestures. That means compliments, flowers, holding hands, saying I love you, giving those great compliments. You know, those are the things that women need. We need this affection. Thanks, babe. Affection is not sex.
Dang.
But sex can be a result of affection. But it should not be the motivation.
Dang.
Okay? So men, your wife needs, not wants, affection. And you can do this, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times you think, I'm a man. I didn't grow up being affectionate. I don't know how. But you have to think of it like this. It's not because you feel like it. And it's not because you think she deserves it that you give this affection. It's not because she did something for you. And so now she deserves flowers tomorrow. It's something that she actually requires to do. Like a flower needs water. Plants need water. Plants need sun to be able to grow. This is something that she needs is affection.
Man, that is so good. I want you not to miss that analogy. You take away water and you take away sun from any plant and they will not flourish. You take away affection. Yeah. You take away security. You take that away from any woman.
You're stifling your wife. You're not going to get her full
flourish.
Potential.
That's so good.
You're not going to see the full potential of your wife.
What's the last
third thing that you need that she needs is communication.
Oh, help us, Jesus.
Now, I know that, yes. I know we women, we have a lot of words.
My God.
We usually have three times as many words as men. It says something like women speak 20,000 words a day where men speaks like 7,000.
Jesus.
But I beg to defer with me and my husband, that role is switched.
You
this
a lie.
This baby has a lot
You're
of words.
You're a lie.
No.
And the truth is not in you.
Michael loves to talk, y'all. But as men, you guys are automatically wired to fix problems. And we don't always necessarily need you to fix what we are trying to confide in you. Sometimes we just desire to let you know how we feel or what we're experiencing. And what we really want is you to empathize and relate.
Hold on, stop. I don't even know what them words
what
mean.
What we want
empathize
you guys to
and
do,
relate. I just heard yang, 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 yang.
When we confide in you, what we want you to do
help us.
Is empathize and relate. So, example, wife comes home and she's like, oh my goodness, Susan, I think this girl named Susan is talking about me at my job. She said, I think she said
Stop
something to Jan
to
too because I saw Jan look at me.
Get away from
and
her.
And I just don't know what to do. I don't know if I should
Go
bring
to
it to
desk.
My supervisor.
Do your work.
Should I confront her?
No.
I don't know.
Go
it's making
we can
me feel.
Quit.
I feel uncomfortable
quit. You don't
at my
even
job.
Need the job. Quit it.
So, in that,
just
that
makes
scenario.
Sense to me.
In that scenario, most men want to jump to conclusions like that and just fix it and get it over with. You know, why are we talking about this? But here are some things that you can say to help empathize and relate.
Oh, yeah, we
you can say something like, I'm sorry that happened to you, sweetheart. I felt like that before, too. And so you throw the sweetheart in, that gives some affection, and then you relate by saying, I felt like that before too. And then give an example where you felt like you were, you know, being talked about or someone was coming against you.
That,
and
that
relate.
May be hard for me. I may not be able to relate.
Okay, and if you're not...
Because I'll punch somebody if they don't, you know what I'm saying? So what happens if I can't come up with an example?
If you're in the moment, you're kind of like a deer in headlights, like, how do I relate? And you can't think? Then here's a great default statement.
Take this
You
down.
Can say... What can I do to help you in this moment, babe? So, and I promise you, if you say that, she will give you the answer right there and not be offended. If you say, babe, I am so sorry that happened, or I can't believe that happened. How can I help you in this moment? She will gladly tell you. She may just say, I need you to give me a hug and tell me it's going to be okay. So, men, your wife needs communication. She needs affection and security. Not a want. But these are things that she needs put in her by God that you can fulfill.
And this is awesome because if you don't know this, like Natalie said, you can't fulfill the needs. A car doesn't want gas.
Yeah.
It needs gas. So
you ain't going nowhere.
If you get in your car and you're like, I'm about to go to this place, but you don't have what the car needs, You're going to stay in the same place. I dare say that many relationships are in the same. You got a Bugatti in the same place because it doesn't have what it needs.
Yeah.
So men, we have to give our wife, every man in here say, I got to give her what she needs. Okay. So ladies, let me tell you what every man needs. Okay. Ladies. Okay. Here we go. So every man needs honor and respect.
Yes.
Now, I know this is counter-cultural because you got your own and you're independent and you make more money and you got more degrees than a thermometer and all these other things that you have going on in your life. But it doesn't matter. Your man, but created by God, needs honor and respect. He needs you to hold him in high regard. I'm going to offend some people's religion. He needs you to praise him. Speak well of him. Tell him what he does great according to his abilities and his qualities and his achievements. And I know some of y'all be like, how could I be respectable and honorable? And he ain't respectable and honorable to be to.
I don't like, know where just, this ghetto woman comes from.
I don't know.
Him.
Her name is Bertha.
It just comes out.
She
naturally.
Lives like right here. And she has a constant sinus problem. But women, let me help you. Let me help you with some ways that you can help your husband or your future husband, how you can respect and honor him. Number one, allow him to fail.
Yeah.
A lot of women are damaging their relationships because they're being their husband's mother and not their partner.
I told you so. Ain't that what I said? Things like that.
No man wants another mom.
I cut off.
Can I get some amens from the brothers? Y'all better speak up. I better say something.
Yeah.
Leave me up here by myself. But we don't want another mother. We want somebody that can help us achieve our goals.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing. Another thing that you can do is you can let God be the enforcer.
Let God get them. I've done that numerous of times.
Number of times she's like, well, fine, I'm going to tell God on you. And I'm like, tell him.
And
tell
I tell
him.
You,
and then in prayer.
That baby won't sleep. Yeah, horrible,
up.
Just tossing and turning the
and
whole night.
Wake up
night.
The next morning, baby, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I did last night. It's so, but this is the thing. This is why it is important that you are with somebody that is God is the center.
Absolutely.
Because God can get them. And another thing you can do, ladies, to honor and respect your husband is honor the man you want him to be, not the man he is right now.
I said last week, I said, babe, you clean those floors so good.
Yeah, I did.
Like, oh my gosh, I've never seen you clean floors like that before. That's
boy,
awesome.
I missed the clean them mugs this week.
I've been telling him he's so strong. He's been working out. I'm like, babe, you are so strong. I'm just trying to encourage what I continue to want to see, you know?
But hear me. What you don't realize is, women, you are the prophet in your home. You can literally speak into existence what's not there. And men will rise to the occasion because they have the belief. Literally, on our sabbatical, my wife said, baby, I think you can make this house bed for our daughter. And I ain't never done carpentry like that in my life.
So you can do that.
She said, you can do that. I said, yeah. I can do that. I can do that. And I did it.
You did.
Now, hear me. I did it because I had somebody speak into my life what she saw was a possibility. And I had her support to be able to fail.
Yeah.
And that comes to my second thing that every man needs is he needs support. Like in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when he said it's not good for a man to be alone, the first adjective he describes the woman as is a helper.
Yeah.
And so women, your man needs help. My question is, are you helping him?
Let's talk about this last one.
Okay. Well, let's go on and do it.
Yeah.
Because every man needs, not wants. Everybody say needs.
Needs.
Every man needs sex.
Yes.
Now you see, now you hear the amens. That's right, dog. That's right.
Okay.
Now I want you to realize this, that 1 Corinthians 7 says that our bodies are not our own. And we're not even supposed to abstain from that unless both of us agree and we're going to get closer to God. Okay, so men don't want it. Men need sex. Okay,
yeah.
And now I'm talking in the context of marriage, cause some of y'all out here wilding out. No, and I want to say this cause I feel like it's so important. Marriage outside of sex is like lightning hitting the earth. Anytime lightning hits the earth, that's power that always destroys. But if you can get that same power into a conduit and use the energy positively, it can power a whole city.
Absolutely.
Marriage is the conduit that is able to control the power of sex and able to power so many things. I'm going to do a whole message called The Power of Sex
in a
couple
weeks. Don't preach it now, though.
But I'm not going to preach it now. Go ahead, baby.
So I want to talk about a woman's perspective of this because I feel like it's important. We talk about it because most men are just ready to go. When we talk about sex, it doesn't take much. They're ready. So, women, 80% of us don't want or require sex like our husbands. It's just a known fact.
You see that lady, now, she said amen.
Okay, but I do want to say, if you are in that 20%, congratulations. I mean, that is great for you. But for the rest of us, sometimes we have to work at this. Sometimes we still, you know, have to meet, we have to meet our husband's need, even if we don't necessarily feel like it.
Give the example that you told me about.
So this example, a husband and a wife are laying in bed, and she reaches over, or he reaches over, and says, "Honey, I'm really thirsty, you know, in the middle of the night. Can you get me a drink of water?"
Ooh, just thirsty.
And the wife goes, "Sure, you know, maybe in like 5 minutes. I'll just give me a second, okay?"
Okay,
you know, I'll wait 5 minutes. And then 30 minutes rolls by. "Hey, what about that water?" And
water.
She's like, "Oh, I forgot. I'll get it. Just give me a moment. One moment." And then next thing you know, it's the morning and she still hasn't done it. But the conditions of this example is you can't get up. You can't move. The only person that can get you this drink is your spouse. And so next day rolls by. They still haven't done it. But that person cannot move. They can't go about their day until that drink has come to them to fulfill their need. And so a lot of times this is what happens in these scenarios with husbands and wives. And we can get angry. We can get frustrated. We can feel neglected. We can feel like, you know, my husband doesn't, or my wife doesn't even care about me or love me to sacrifice her time or her desires to be able to fulfill this legitimate need. So basically, ladies, I want to say, don't keep them thirsty. Let's not
y'all
keep them
don't
thirsty.
Don't keep
y'all.
Them thirsty.
Yeah, let's not keep them
Some
thirsty.
Some of y'all husbands so parched out here, just out here dry mouthed and ashy around the mouth.
We gotta give them a drink.
And you gotta give them a drink. Now
listen.
We gotta
give them a drink.
This is why this is so important, though. Hear me. Because when these needs aren't met, the quality of the marriage goes down and they start looking for it somewhere else.
Becky with the good hair. I'm sorry, I'm gone.
Now let me hear you. That's not okay, and
not
that's not what God wants. But he tells us that we have to meet our husband and wife's needs. Everybody say needs.
Needs.
And when we meet those needs, everything in our life goes up. But if we don't meet those needs, we go to the place where we get those needs fulfilled.
Absolutely.
So that's why most men turn to their careers or work. That's why most women, because they need affection, they turn to the kids. That's why a lot of people talk to their girlfriends and their family all the time. It's because we're trying to meet a legitimate need illegitimately.
Yes.
And that's what sin is. It's trying to meet a legitimate need illegitimately. But we have to go back to God and our spouse to get those things.
I'm going
to
give quickly some practical tips for women to kind of prepare yourself or get yourself in the mood when you're not necessarily.
Come on, help these women in here, Pastor.
And these are things that you can do alone. Some of you can do alone. Texting throughout the day.
Yes.
Texting throughout the day. You can text pictures,
Glory.
Love notes,
Glory.
Things, whatever, however far your mind wants to take it, you can text it to each other throughout the day. Little spicy things or
now,
whatever.
Now, some of y'all right now just got, like, heat just went up the back of your neck and you started tripping. But this is what I want to say. If we don't talk about these things, then we counsel people who are divorced.
Exactly.
Because we don't know how to live right and we just think we need to pray. You need to pray that God give you wisdom how to send him a sexy text message. Do you hear me?
It's true.
Inside of marriage.
He's still
so
a man.
You can be able to fulfill those
needs.
He
loves the Lord, but he's still a man.
Come on, help him, baby.
Next thing is beauty prep. So that can also help you kind of get yourself in the mood is taking long showers, doing your hair, get your makeup. I even suggest wearing that really nice pair of underwear that you have all day long. Like, wear that, even though you're not around each other all day long, but you wear that. Try to get yourself in the mood. Lingerie. Listening to music, love, or
Lay
you know,
your
sexy,
body down.
Sexy music throughout the day. That can help you get in the mood.
Versace on the floor.
Oh my gosh. And the other thing is good old love schedule.
Come on, with the love schedule.
The love schedule is when you go ahead and schedule that into your week. And sometimes they say it takes the spontaneity out, but your husband will appreciate, especially if you have a busy schedule, you got small kids, or you're just really busy individuals, that you put in, made him a priority, and put him
Matter of fact, what are you doing next Thursday?
Let's get
at
to 6:30. The next point.
I just want everybody I want everybody to hear me, because you may not be in this stage of life, but if you know these things, you can apply these things.
Yeah.
And we want to help people win. And ladies, let me hear you. Bishop Ludacris had it right, that we want a lady in the streets, but a freak in the bed. Can somebody say glory? Prophet Usher.
I just want... Jesus.
Bishop Luda! Okay. Y'all... Anyway, go ahead.
I just want to, Jesus, help me.
It's the truth anyhow.
Who I married, guys. Oh, my gosh.
Marriage should be fun, man. Absolutely.
I just want to say that it does take sacrifice. All those things that I was saying, you know, to do to help get you in the mood, and men being able to give women what they need and women to give men or your husband what they need, it does take sacrifice.
And so one of the areas that we have to sacrifice a lot is in communication. The third major key, communication is crucial.
Yeah.
Like, most people get out of covenant because they don't know how to communicate. And this is one of the things that helped me and Pastor Natalie.
Love languages.
Yeah. Has anybody heard of Gary Chapman's 5 love languages? Okay,
yeah.
I want everybody to go online and take this test.
There are 5 of them.
There are five. Physical touch, quality time,
words of affirmation, acts of service
was the last one.
And gifts.
Okay, so many women and men are speaking totally different love languages. Like, I thought that Natalie liked gifts, but her top 2 love languages are quality time and acts of service.
And Michael's is physical touch and words of affirmation. Funny thing is my highest score in quality time is his lowest. He literally scored a 1. You can score 1 through 12. He scored a 1. And so we have to work to be able to speak each other's love languages.
We do. But knowledge is power. See, before I knew that this is how we communicated, I buy her gifts, 5 pair of shoes at a time, and she'd be like, oh, thank you. And I'd be like, oh, thank you? I just put down all this money. Girl, I'm your man. I'm your dad. And she would have much rather. Oh, did that just come out?
I don't know where he's at, guys. I don't know what's going on.
Did that just boop? It's the truth anyhow.
Oh my gosh.
Love it when you call me Big Pop. Anyway. But what was happening.
Relationship goals.
Is that I was speaking a different language. Y'all come back. Yes. We got more message. Daddy has more to speak. Hey, listen.
Okay.
Let me stop.
Anyway, he wasn't speaking my primary love language until he learned what it was, and it was quality time. So I appreciated the gifts, but we saved a lot more money and effort when he found out I really just wanted to spend time with him.
And that's the key for me,
was your words of affirmation. It didn't come to me naturally. So sometimes you're going to have to come up with creative ways fulfill your spouse's love language.
So good.
And so what I did with affirmation, what I... figured out was for me to, I looked up on Pinterest, honestly, how to do this. And I got post-it notes and I wrote words of affirmation on post-it notes and put it on his mirror in the bathroom. So when he got ready for work, or was brushing his teeth, he could read those words of affirmation.
What was you saying?
On them.
What was you saying?
That you could champion your day. That you were handsome.
What?
That you're my favorite pastor.
Come on.
You're the best husband. Yeah. I see what you're doing. Okay.
But knowing
your love language is crucial, guys.
It is. And another thing that's crucial in communication is knowing the power of your words.
Yeah.
That Proverbs 18:21 talks about life and death being in the power of the tongue. But I don't know if we really believe that, because if we did, we would talk more like Ephesians 4:29, which says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. See, I can't just say positive words that I want to. I need to be building my spouse up according to what she needs. And we benefit, both of us benefit from it. So I want you to hear this statement. Your words are either building up the person you want to be married to, or you're tearing down the person you have to be married to.
That's really, really good.
And that's what we need to know, that our words are powerful. And there's some people in this room, Natalie, that are like, I can't use no positive language because we have too many problems.
Yeah.
He's a problem, and his
job is
a problem. There's conflict.
There's conflict.
Can you give the people in marriage some conflict resolution?
Absolutely. At least one point that I want to make. In 1 Peter 3, it's basically talking to the wives about how to win her husband over through her actions and not necessarily through her words. And it says, godly lives will speak to people without words, and that we're to have a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, I know my example growing up, I grew up with a lot of strong women. It was very strong women-driven family from down to my grandma and all the way up. And so when you hear gentle and quiet spirit, we automatically like the neck and the head, like, what? Like, I'm not about to be a doormat. Like, you're not going to walk all over me. I'm not going to be quiet and not say anything. And so, but what I did was I looked these things up. And gentle means, basically means humble or meek. And that's strength under control.
That's good.
And it really does. If you think about it, it takes a lot more strength to be able to be meek and humble when you really want to pop off at the mouth.
My God.
Which one takes more strength? And to be quiet, the term that I like that described that was unbothered. Basically undisturbed. You're peaceful. And so those are two things that we need to be able to resolve conflict. And it basically boils down to our word choice and our tone.
Did you say the T word?
Our word choice and our tone.
Tone.
And that is for both, but I'm specifically talking to the women because it's so easy. Because, hold on, I'll let you say something. So we have to understand that conflict is going to happen in marriage, but we have to keep our word choice beneficial.
That's good.
And we have to leave out the fluff. And this term fluff I came up with as we've been dating all these years, that is the secondary emotions. That's I'm pissed off, I'm mad, I'm frustrated, but we need to get to the real point. And how we can get to the real point is by being gentle, having that gentle spirit, having that humble spirit, and saying, you know, babe, when date night came on Friday, you were hanging out with your friends, and, you know, it really hurt my feelings. It made me feel like I wasn't a priority because you forgot date night. Versus, where was you at on Friday? Don't you know it's date night? And honestly, it just pissed me off. Why are you even doing it? And where are you at right now? The difference between word choice and my tone, I'm not setting myself up for results that I want.
Tone matters.
Yes.
I want everybody to say it with me. Tone matters. You can be saying the right thing with the wrong tone.
Absolutely.
And you will kill whatever result you're trying to get.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage married couples, choose the tone that will get the results you want.
Yeah.
Don't choose the tone that makes you feel better in the moment.
Because that's action oriented. When we decide to control our tone and our word choice, that's actions that we're taking in communication. We're just naturally word driven. We want to engage with our husband with all of our words and just give it to him, but they're not. They're driven by actions and by getting things done. And so by physically, you know, action. So anyway, that helps them to be able to just win over the conversation with our husbands if we can control those two things.
So that's one good key to resolving conflict. Let me give you one more.
And men too, not just women.
Okay, let me give you another one. You have to cut out unspoken expectations.
Yeah.
And this can go in every area of your life,
this
but especially in marriage. When you don't speak your expectation from the beginning, you are setting up yourself and your spouse to fail.
Yeah.
If you speak your expectation, I know it might be whack. It might be humbling. It might be, you should feel like they already know it.
It robs the person of the opportunity to actually meet your expectation or meets your need. You don't give them the opportunity if you don't let them know.
So speak your expectation. I'll tell you this one story that me and Natalie had just gotten married. Yeah, I'm going to tell it.
And
we were in a van because we drove a lot of vans without air conditioning. It was hot outside, and she was down with me when I was driving vans. Girl, I love you. But anyway, what happened was we talked for 15 minutes about how hot it was and all this other stuff, and we were going to Quick Trip so I could get gas and we could get drinks. That was the understanding. Pulling the Quick Trip, excited, happy, about to go on a date night. I get out trying to be chivalrous, and I pump the gas. And she's like, I'm going to go get something to drink. And I'm like, okay, girl. And in my mind.
In my mind, too.
There was no way that she was going into Quick Trip after that conversation about how hot we were and that we both wanted to drink.
I thought he would tell me if you were thirsty what you wanted.
And I thought there was no way.
You wanted something.
That she would walk in there. She comes out of Quick Trip with one cup and a donut.
And it was sweet tea.
And it's the one drink I don't like. So we couldn't even share it. And so I look at it and watch.
What'd you
me
do, Pastor?
Me not being humble.
What'd you
me
do, Pastor?
Not, don't be saying Pastor like that to me. So me maturing in my faith.
I'm going to tell you what he did. I take a bite of my donut. He snatches it out of my hand and throws it out the window. Skirts out of Quick Trip.
I straight Michael Vick that mug. I threw that mug.
I mean, literally, I'm taking the bite. He chunks it out the window.
I was mad.
Way to be meek.
Now watch. But all of that came, literally, it ruined the next 2 days. Like, the next day and a half was ruined. Date night was ruined. She was mad at me for the next day over a donut.
And guys,
or really unspoken expectations.
Guys, that's a small, petty example, yeah. But it can go as large and as deep and serious as it could be with unspoken expectations.
What we want you to realize is that Satan's plan is to divide and conquer, and God's plan is to unite and conquer. Yeah. And if you're going to win in marriage, you need these major keys. The last thing we want to tell everybody as we close is we want every marriage to never pause on pursuit.
Yeah.
Never stop pursuing your spouse.
Yeah.
You know that scripture in Genesis where it talks about for this reason, a man and woman should leave their mother and father and cleave unto their wife. When you look at that word in the Hebrew, it actually means to pursue closely.
Yeah.
It means that when we leave our mother and father, it's not just to sit on the couch and be like, we married now. I got them. So I don't got to do anything that it took to get them. It means to continue to pursue closely. I love Natalie more today than I ever have because she has continued to change and I've continued to pursue her.
Yeah.
I'm encouraging every person in this room who's married and any person who desires to be married. The destination is not marriage. The destination for your marriage is death do us part.
The finish line.
That's the finish line.
Your perspective, if that is the finish line, is I said I do and I got her and I'm good. Like, she's mine.
If that's the finish line, you'll stop pursuing your wife or your husband.
Yeah.
But if the marriage is the starting line, to be able to cultivate, develop, and see who this person could really be if I support, love, show affection, give them their needs, keep God at the center, and be everything that God's called us to be.
Man, plan date nights.
Plan date nights.
Start to finish.
Start to finish.
Know, give unsolicited affection.
Yes.
Thoughtful gifts.
You made a list, didn't
I did.
You? Okay,
I did.
Shut that
I
down.
Did.
And this is what I'm saying. Respect and honor. No, I'm just playing. But hear me when I say this, is that God's purpose for every marriage is that you win in relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't want anybody to go in this thinking it's not going to be how Jesus said it was going to be. That love your wife how I love the church. Yeah. And he gave sacrificially even unto the point of death. Guys, God wants to empower your relationship and your marriage. And matter of fact, we want to do something. We want to pray for every married couple in this room. If you're married in this room, whether your spouse is here or he's not here or she's here or not here, I want you to grab your spouse's hand and I want you to stand right now. Father, I thank you for every person, Father God, who is under the sound of my voice, who has taken the covenant of marriage. Father, we're all in different places, but Father, we put you back in your rightful place as the head of our household. And I thank you, Father, that we're not going to do this thing without you. God, I thank you that as we pursue you, we're going to get closer together. Father, give us this day, Father God, a reset and a reminder to know what you've entrusted us with. One of your precious and special gifts in our husband and wife. And God, help us to cultivate her. Help us to make him feel supported. God, let your anointing and your favor flow through our hearts and our lives like never before. God, I thank you that these major keys are helping people, Father, in this room be able to realize that you have more for their marriage, that the pursuit is not supposed to stop just because we got each other, but we're going to go after each other. Father God, how you love the church, that's how we're supposed to love each other, God. And I thank you that these couples who are standing will be examples to those who are sitting, that, Father God, people will see you through marriages. And Father, we thank you that no attack of the enemy will be able to come against these marriages. Father, your word says what God has put together, let no man or anything put asunder, Father. So we just thank you for the peace of God that covers every person, God. And I thank you that every marriage in this room is going to represent you, Father God. In Jesus' name, we agree. We expect amen. Let's give God praise right now.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.